quite a bit on the 40,000-foot or maybe more than that level from Nandan, numbers from Mohan, and on the demand side from Basu and everybody. So let's hear something from supply of talent and how you're managing that from Hema.
Good morning. If you were in Bangalore 2 years ago, and on a Wednesday you had picked up the Times of India, you would have seen approximately 2 pages of job advertisements, all of which, of course, would have been for the software industry. Back to 2004, and on a Wednesday, if you again pick up the Times of India, you find at least 16 to 18 pages of advertisements for jobs. The Deccan Herald, which is another leading paper, has moved up its job advertisement page to Wednesday from Friday. And when our buses stop at the traffic lights to bring our employees in Fusion to the Infosys campuses, you also have people preloading newspapers into the bus on a Wednesday. So it is really a war for talent. It is a jungle. And the HR challenge, the human capital management challenge, therefore becomes very, very critical. It is therefore no wonder that when Conference Board did their recent survey on the top challenges that CEOs see from a leadership perspective, 6 of the 10 are human capital oriented. The ability to create a culture which embraces speed, flexibility, and change, a culture which looks at creativity, innovation, and entrepreneurship, the ability to acquire qualified talent, both at the management and at the executive level, succession planning, knowledge management, and a full 50% of successful company CEOs rated employee commitment, loyalty, and job satisfaction as the most important challenge. In this scenario, it is therefore critical that human resources understands the stakeholder expectations and key challenges facing each of these. The expectations hover around managing scale, managing risk, managing execution, and managing diversity. While there is a large pool of talented engineers coming out, with 6 of 10 Fortune's most admired top 10 software companies setting base in India, with 12 of the top 40 in the Wired 40 having bases in India, with many large captive organizations having been set up by organizations based in various parts of the world, there is definitely a war for talent and a shrinking base of experienced talent. Add to this the issue that you have to handle several geographies, services, and changing demographics, and the challenge compounds. From a managing risk perspective, the aggressive labor market has seen double-digit attrition. If you track the history of attrition in the Indian software industry, in 1999-2000, it hovered anywhere in the range of 17 to 30%. In 2002 and 2003, because of the changes in the economy, the industry average, according to NASSCOM published figures, was in the range of 12 to 13%. And now, in 2004, again, according to NASSCOM figures, it is in the range of 18 to 20%. So it is an aggressive labor market, and there is double-digit attrition. There are changes to compliance and regulatory practices. All of us are familiar with the immigration laws, a cap of 195,000 coming down to 65,000. In other parts of the world, also the challenges continue. Software has moved from Tier 1 to Tier 2 category in UK as a work permit application category, and the German green card category is due to sunset at the end of this year. There is also the need to introduce market competitive benefit programs across geographies. Managing execution really means larger volumes with increased complexity and reduced cycle times. 2 to 3 years ago, for a large part of the fresh engineer recruitment, you had a lead time of 12 to 15 months to get them in. Today, the challenge is to staff up and produce a 1,000-strong batch in about 45 days. Cycle times for visa processing has also considerably reduced, given, of course, the caps reducing from 195 to 65,000. So operational proactivity has become the key challenge and the key mantra in terms of ensuring excellence in execution. And finally, of course, with demographic diversity in terms of nationality, gender, age, and family status, and in terms of making M&As work, in terms of integrating employees of different profiles and organizations, I think it is critical to create an inclusive work environment where employees are encouraged to bring more of themselves to work to create a virtuous circle of productivity. So how is the HR response and how are we handling this? In terms of managing scale, we have grown from 250 employees in 1992, 1,172 employees in 1996, to 253 in last quarter. If you look at it carefully, every 2 years, 96 through 98, 98 through 2000, 2000 to 2002, and 2002 to 2004, we have more than doubled. We have done this while maintaining and having a maniacal focus on quality. Typically, we processed close to 1 million resumes in the last financial year and made offers to 13,500 employees, which is a 1.5 to 1% of the total number of applicants. In terms of the talent pool in India, the increasing number of engineering graduates which are coming out, 178,000 are expected to come out in the degree program this year, out of which the IT numbers are close to about 50% or plus, about 100,000. Out of these, about 55 to 60% enter the workforce. There are also non-IT engineers entering the workforce, so you have a total number of about 100,000 across the 2 years. Given that we are hiring about 8% of those entering the workforce market and about 5% of the total pool, it becomes therefore critical going forward to augment the talent pool through new profiles, and we are looking at undergraduates for several undergraduates in liberal arts, science, commerce for several of our service offerings, new geographies like China as well as Australia, and inorganic growth like the Infosys Australia growth. And of course, hiring of domain specialists and consultants, which we talked a little bit ahead. It's also important to build deep relationships with the campuses, the educational campuses, because 75% of our recruitment is from these engineering campuses. And to widen the pool of trained talent, and really based on the philosophy that if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, but you teach him how to fish and you feed him for a lifetime, faculty enablement, project work for students, sabbatical opportunities for professors, and courseware availability are some of the innovative ways we are working on to augment and increase the pool of trained talent. In addition, to build Infosys brand in new geographies, we have aggressive internship programs as well as case studies and project work with international institutions. If you recruit based on the key concept of learnability like we do, which is the ability of the individual to derive generic knowledge from specific experiences and apply the same in future context, it becomes critical to have as a backbone strong competency-enabling frameworks. We have a strong entry-level training, which is 14 weeks of comprehensive go-no-go training, which has been benchmarked by leading academicians in the U.S. against U.S. standards. And these benchmarks have shown that a 4-year engineering degree in any branch of engineering in India, combined with our 14-week program in competency enabling, is equal to a 4-year Bachelor of Science in Computer Science in any university in the U.S. This certification standard has also met the INS and the BCIS stringent standards for visa applications. Along with this, you have to focus also on continuing education with certification programs for key skills and role-based training so that you look at each role, the different streams and the different roles, identify specific competencies, both behavioral and managerial and technical, and then develop training programs around that. Learning for us is like a little diamond. It focuses on technical aspects, the quality and the process aspects, the management development aspects, and the leadership dimension. Management programs really focus on 3 aspects: managing the self, managing teams, managing business, and managing the client. And the leadership model is really a 3-tiered model with ready now leaders for global positions, ready in 3 to 5 and ready in 5 to 7 years, and training programs and developmental programs around all of this. In this program intervention, our key philosophy is that the company is the campus, the business is the curriculum, and leaders must teach. So senior leaders, including members of the board, go out and teach the identified leaders in topics which are their strength and their passion: leadership, strategy, technology thought leadership, process excellence, etc. And finally, of course, part-time and distance education programs to augment competency enabling. The second challenge is really to future-proof the organization. And the first trend here is, of course, in the area of compensation. Compensation trends at the marketplace now show that differential compensation strategies are coming into the Indian software industry. There's a reinforcement of the high-performance work ethic. Companies are working towards being better employers for better performance, and there's a strong link to performance and variable pay. Infosys has been quite a thought leader in this perspective, and we have aligned our programs very, very strongly to business performance. In 2000, under 10% of our employees had more than 10% of their total compensation in variable pay. Now, all 100% of our confirmed employees have at least 10% of their fixed pay coming in variable pay, and this progressively increases through to 30%, 50%, 75%, and at the senior-most level, a 1:1, 100% of fixed pay coming in the form of variable pay. These programs are aligned to company performance, team and group performance, and of course, to individual performance. The second aspect of managing risk is to really ensure that you have enhanced retention. Our attrition rates have been considerably lower than what the industry has. We closed out last quarter at 10.9% against, as I said, NASSCOM set figures of 18 to 20%. In the years before, again, we had half of the industry average as our attrition figures. We have achieved this really through a culture of learning value add, which really encourages employees and talks to them about the alternate career tracks we have, the skill sets and locations, continuous and role-based employee enabling programs, and also addressing the whole employee through initiatives like health and lifestyle enhancement and employee assistance programs which handle counseling, which handle critical care, which handle grievances, and provide a positive work environment. It is also important to future-proof the organization by ensuring that the right person is in the right place at the right time, i.e. the immigration challenge, and managing global talent deployment with its scale, speed, complexity, and efficiency, given all the changing dynamics in compliance and changing immigration scenarios, I think is one of the other things that is critical to future-proof the organization. From a managing execution perspective, it is really working towards results. And we do this through three key interventions. Through creating a high-performance work ethic, a high-performance, high-productivity culture with focus on performance and utilization measures, with strong emphasis on personal accountability and alignment of organizational objectives with individual performance objectives and rule flow down. Using technology and process automation through HR business process transformations, leveraging technology is another key area. And of course, using internal shared HR services for creating a centralized, efficient, economies of scale operational work system is really critical and what we are doing for increasing efficiency. From a managing diversity perspective, it's creating a diverse, inclusive, and positive work environment with focus on nationalities and gender. We have initiatives like Infosys Women's Inclusivity Network, which is sponsored by the chairman at the highest level, in North America by the head of customer delivery, and in India by myself, and customizing HR service offerings across diverse internal customers. Finally, of course, differentiation is critical, and therefore doing it with a difference. The HR organization in Infosys has a clear line of sight to the end customer. It interacts closely with the end customer in several interactions, workshops on our HR best practices, ensure that we are in constant touch with the customer, and of course, at times, sharing best practices and doing consulting assignments in the HR space for our clients. Individual growth is tightly aligned to organizational growth, which means revenue and revenue productivity in integrated business units drive the vacancies for roles in the organization, and this then drives, based on performance, individual growth. Institutionalized utilization measures to drive productivity, leveraging technologies to evolve smart HR processes, and integrating and sharing best practices across the Infosys group. So, in terms of response, from a managing scale perspective and in summary, we have innovated through the extension of the talent pool. We have a thin corporate and working towards greater alignment with the business units and through increased automation. In terms of managing risk, innovating on the compensation models, always in compliance, and understanding workforce trends so that we can engage the Infosion much more closer. In terms of managing execution, making performance count, automating process improvements, and focusing relentlessly on people productivity. And finally, in the area of managing diversity, to ensure that policies, cultural aspects, role models, and enablers are in place to encourage and create an inclusive work environment. That is the HR response. The external accolades are there. Internally, as we scale up and manage diversity, risk, and execution, these HR strengths come into play. I am open to taking any questions.
This is Prateek Gupta from Citigroup. Just a quick question on the current challenges or challenges in the current environment, where we are generally hearing of all the Indian offshore IT companies facing a sort of shortage at the mid-level, people with 3 to 5 years experience. And I understand as a response to that, what you've been doing is hiring more people at the entry level and having your own training engine, et cetera. So I'm just wondering, is that not inherently wage inflationary going forward, that maybe you're postponing your wage inflation to 3 to 5 years hence as these guys get more experience and so on? Or are you saying that you think the available pool of talent in the Indian market is going to expand dramatically in the next 3 to 5 years, that the pyramid structure can be maintained?
Let me take the question from two aspects. One is, of course, the way we have structured our compensation with increased focus on variable compensation, I think, is a way of addressing that issue. So you have increasing focus on company performance, revenue targets, operational performance targets, etc. So the total compensation of the individual comes through both fixed and variable pay, so you don't hedge it only from the fixed pay aspect. The second is, I think, traditionally, if you look at over the last 12 years or so, the Indian industry has had a challenge in the middle management, so it's not something that is just new. And Infosys has always looked at aggressively hiring from the fresh market and enabling them very strongly. Typically, our recruitment at that level is between 70 to 80% and 20 to 25% coming from the experienced hire market. And I think those trends continue. So as you look at it, then the wage pressure kind of evens out, because if you're going to do that across the years, that happens.
Yes, could you recite the attrition statistics you cited at the beginning of the presentation, and can you explain what drives the volatility in that figure year to year?
Yeah. So if you look at 1999 to 2001, it was really the boom period, and in that period of time, while there are no published figures that are there out in the market, the experience is that attrition was in the range of between 17 to 30%. And companies were experiencing anywhere of upward of 20%. In 2002 and 2003, it was a very different scenario. And in those years, with companies actually laying off, with multinational companies laying off internationally and therefore having the same impact in the offshore development centers, you saw attrition come down to ranges of about 12 to 13%. And now again, you're seeing hiring increasing, you're seeing a hot labor market, you're seeing increasing activity in this area. And again, while the published figures are not out, NASSCOM sources indicate the figures are in the range of 18 to 20%. Reasons for attrition that we see in Infosys, one of the biggest reasons is higher studies, followed by perceived better opportunities and personal reasons. And typically, if you look at the Indian software professional psyche, you have the best and the brightest from the Institutes of Technology or the National Institutes of Technology or the other engineering colleges coming in, working for about 18 to 24 months, and then wanting to either pick up an MBA degree in one of the Indian Institutes of Management or moving to perceive better opportunities in some of the other organizations. So it was really the economic scenario that reflected on the attrition figures, and that's why you see the dip in 2002, 2003, and again it's picking up in 2004.
Okay, great. Lumen Associate, Lumen Brothers. When I was out on your campus back in March, we heard about a lot of your capital expenditures going into building more facilities to train more people, mostly out of undergrad. Can you give us an update there, maybe how many dollars you're spending, how many seats you're adding, where you are with all that, and maybe how it's going in increasing capacity?
Chris, you want to take that?
This year, we're looking to spend about $150 million. We have about 2.5 million square feet space in work in process right now. And currently we have about 5.5 million square feet space already in use, and another 2.5 million square feet of space is in construction.
And how about the capacity to train people as they come in, obviously, to teach?
We have consolidated our training at the entry level in Mysore. We have the capacity to train 4,000 people simultaneously, and this is fully residential. And the reason for making residential is to improve the effectiveness of training. We saw that by making it residential, we take away all their worries about finding accommodation for a short period of time, because we're centralizing training. We can put in the right resources in one location to make sure the best training is available, best training infrastructure is available. And lastly, we can delay the decision of where, in which location to deploy. If we, at least we get 3.5 months, just in time, capability if we delay the decision on when, where they'll be deployed.
Okay, great. And one follow-up. Could you go into the strategy for China, how many people you actually have in China right now, and how quickly you look to grow that? And also talk a little bit about what's been perceived in the IT industry, the language barrier, in the sense that obviously you all speak English for when you go to China. English skills are pretty limited, and maybe how about Europe? Overcoming that, if possible.
We have probably about 25-30 resources we are recruiting today in China. We have a facility which can accommodate up to about 300, and we can increase that capacity. We are moving projects to China. It's taking some specific verticals and specific clients to China, so we're moving some projects. And our intention is to grow that as rapidly as possible. We've not publicly stated what those targets are. We look at specific skills. For example, we're building the J2E Java skills right now in China because the language, the technology skills are available. And currently we are also recruiting mostly people who can speak English and, of course, Chinese, so that they become the core group. And over time, we can then recruit more and more of the local, people with the local language capabilities.
We also augment that with returning Chinese, who have been in other markets and who can speak English.
Has that been pretty difficult? Because we have heard that it's very difficult to get someone that has both those, or has English-speaking skills, and then keep it.
They're more expensive, definitely. And that's the issue.
Thank you.
Hi, Adam Frisch from UBS. Can you talk about wage inflation a little bit here? We've heard it's around 12-15% or so back in India, and where you think we are in the wage inflation cycle, beginning, middle, or end, and where you expect wage inflation to go over the next 24 months?
I think, reports from organizations like Mercer, et cetera, which are operating in India across various companies and in the segment, puts the wage inflation at this point of time in the range of 12 to 15%. If you look at periods of time when there have been intense activity, a couple of years ago, 2 to 3 years ago, before 2002 and 2003, it had probably reached much higher levels. But now, as I see, it's kind of a mature market. So I think it will continue to be in the range of 12 to 15%. What we're also seeing is that companies are increasingly widening the difference between the best and the rest performers. So traditionally, while the Indian market had a closer differential and companies were averaging around the, were concentrating around the average, now they are moving and making it increasingly more attractive for the higher performers. We're also finding the trend of variable pay coming into play at different levels linked to company performance. So I think we've reached, I see in the next year too, in the range of 12 to 15%, and I think variable pay components will come in quite significantly, as well as the differentials between the best and the rest.
Okay, just one quick follow-up. In terms of supply, are you at all concerned about the supply in India over the next couple of years and your ability to staff up at a reasonable cost level with not only Indian companies recruiting out of the universities and technology specialty schools, but also other companies coming in and trying to build their own?
Actually, NASSCOM has recently released its report with KPMG, and let me just share that with you, which says that in 2009, they see a gap of about 250,000 employees, a shortage of engineers. At the current rates of absorption, at the current rates of talent enabling, and at the current rates of people wanting to move into industry or not going for higher studies. Having said that, however, I think, yes, right now we are seeing a softening of the market, so right now we have enough talent. But going forward, we need to augment this, which is why we're looking at new geographies. We're looking at new profiles. We also produce 2.1 million graduates, and that is science, commerce, liberal arts, which we are not talking of in this pool at all. So the ability to tap into that talent and create a strong foundation of software professionals who have key learnability skills is also going to be. So if you take the whole picture together, I think there is enough talent. And I think industry and academia are working very aggressively towards bridging those 250,000 gap.
Thanks, Emma.
Thank you.